Pokemon Go introduces photobombing Smeargle. A video game sells at a record-breaking $100,150. Dragalia Lost hits a new revenue milestone. Koei Tecmo announced to be co-developing a new game. A Pokemon Direct happened, and Reggie retires. All this and more, you're listening to KantoCast. Hello and welcome to KantoCast, episode I don't care what number it is because we started over a long time ago. I'm your host Brian, at KCB underscore Brian on Twitter. Hey Jenna.
Hi.
My lovely wifey co-host.
I'm here.
Person. at KCY underscore Jenna on Twitter. Listen, it's been a little while.
It has.
This episode was actually written back on the 22nd of February.
That was my birthday, it was. Yeah, it's been a while.
Things have happened. You're an old lady now.
I've been an old lady.
It's all right. I'm old, too. We're all old. I'm old and I'm tired.
I've been particularly tired this week.
Yeah, no, what did we do for your birthday? We did wine, cheese, and palette painting.
We spent so much money on cheese.
Yeah, you guys ever spend $80? At the grocery store, like, just on cheese?
We bought, like, 5 different kinds of cheese.
I happen to think I had the better cheeses.
You did have some good cheese.
Applewood smoked Gouda.
Yeah.
Is god-tier cheese.
I think I had...
Case in point.
He had his own cheeses. I can't remember cheeses. What else I got.
Oh, the 3 chili Gouda.
You got 3 chili Gouda.
Two Goudas.
I think I got a regular Gouda. It might have been... And then I got... Brie and
what was the other
something
one?
Else.
Gouda, Brie, and
it starts with like a B. It's a weird name. It's almost like it's kind of like an aged cheddar or something. But it had like a it was like a raspberry.
Oh yeah.
But like
Bala. The stuff that had like slimy water in the middle of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just saying.
It was really good. It's kind of like a cheddar, like an aged cheddar.
Yeah, I can't remember what that was called.
Or maybe, I don't know.
I remember you spent like 2 years looking for it.
It starts with like a B.
Like it literally took a while for you to find it.
Well, it's because, so your sister and our brother-in-law, it was like,
Fancy cheese.
Fancy cheese. But they every time we go there, they always have like a cheese platter. That's like what they do for lunch.
Surrounded by wheat crackers.
Yeah. Not so good for you.
Which contaminates literally everything. You know what? We're going up to see them on Saturday. Which is why we'll only be streaming Fire Emblem Shadow of the Dragon on Friday and Sunday this week, FYI.
I figured it out.
Because you looked it up. You didn't figure it out.
I know, but it's called Raspberry Bellavitano.
Bellavitano.
It sounds very Italian.
Bellavitano.
It's nutty cream. Yeah, because it's award-winning creation.
Bella and Vitano look like they're two different, like, separate. Because they capitalize the V.
I don't know. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, I don't know. We're talking way too much about cheese. But we're
cheese is good. Fight me.
You also didn't know how to, like, eat brie. You put it in chunks.
I... couldn't care less.
He thought it was like a weird texture on the top of
it. It was fuzzy. You had fuzzy, hairy cheese.
It wasn't hairy.
I'm over here with my delicious, deep, rich, smoked rind of good. Which you were like, you're supposed to eat the rind? Yeah! That's where all the flavor is! Crazy! I was like, yes, of course you do. And then you ate it and you liked it. Because you don't like smoked cheese.
I don't always like smoked cheese, but that was a good one you picked. It was also like $10.
I think you don't like smoked provolone.
That could be.
Well, it was organic.
So, maybe that was it.
Which was like, and it was a lot of cheese.
Do you remember?
That was that was like a quarter pound of cheese.
Do you remember the time that you made that was like fondue?
You mean the fonduta?
The fonduta.
Yeah.
It had a lot of smoked cheeses.
Yeah.
In it,
awesome.
It was kind of a lot of smoked cheese. I don't remember what kind of cheese you got. I'm pretty sure you got the cheese from Meijer or something like that.
It was
that.
Mozzarella and provolone, probably.
And it was just, it was just
which mozzarella could smoke, too. Smoked mozzarella is pretty good. You just smoked like, Gouda is God tier,
you
though.
You just smoked Gouda. That was good.
Yeah.
I think it was applewood smoked.
I think it has to be smoked on a certain board for you to like it.
Maybe I'm like just if you smoke
it on like applewood or cedar or something like that over just like liquid smoke.
Yeah, liquid flavor. Smoke's not good. It's the stuff that
the applewood. The applewood gives like a special sweetness.
The liquid to the rind. Smoke isn't that what they use at like Burger King?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, they're flame broiled, yet they smell like they came out of a smokehouse. Explain that.
I don't know.
You can't.
Right. So, it's impossible. We forgot to tell them what else we did on my birthday. We painted things.
I said palette painting.
Oh, okay. I missed that part.
I said wine, cheese, and palette painting.
Okay.
The cheese was just the more important part.
The cheese was both of our favorite parts. Except for the wine we found. We spent like an hour just in the
$80 on cheese. $15 on 2 bottles of wine.
Except it took us forever to figure out which one to get. Because I wanted to try something different than we normally get.
What was the stuff?
We got Pacific Rim.
Yeah. That was good.
It was good.
It was all right.
It was a Moscato.
I'm a big wine guy. I will tell you, I'm about to crush some Long Branch bourbon tomorrow. Because I am celebrating for something that I'm not talking about just yet, but that will come. Oh, valued listener, that will come soon. It's Matthew McConaughey's whiskey.
I'm really nervous that when we go
all right,
to the
all right,
to,
all right.
Yeah, that's going to happen when we walk up to the cash register.
That's when they're like when they give me the total, I'm going to say all right, all right, all right. And I'm going to pay. And I'm going to say thank you kindly. And I'm gonna leave.
All right.
He's from Texas. I think he's from.
Do I need to?
I think he's from Dallas. Why are you choosing the noisiest possible internet machine you could choose?
No, the other one's over there.
You mean your phone? That's sitting right here.
Well, my computer's working. Let's see what it does.
Is your phone not working?
Stop criticizing me. He's from Texas, but I don't know what this is called. It's a smallish town.
Well, they have a Walmart.
Okay, he's outside of San Antonio.
Okay, yeah, sure. All right, whatever. Doesn't matter. Anyway. Let's.
We talk about cheese and Google things.
Let's get into other things. So gaming's been happening, right? Apex Legends showed up, and I honestly feel like Apex Legends could give Fortnite a run for the money, but it doesn't have that marketing power that Fortnite has. A lot of people immediately labeled it the Fortnite killer,
you know,
because it does a lot of things well, and I think it's backed by EA.
Yeah,
so like it's got some funding potential.
Has it been released already?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's free to start.
I haven't
something.
Really been like paying.
It's a battle royale shooter.
But I've heard, yeah.
That's what you'd expect.
Yeah.
Because that's where we are in the world. You know what? Even like Tetris 99 came out. That has a battle royale mode.
You've been playing.
Everything
that.
Is battle royale. Yeah.
A little bit.
I play a couple games every other day or so.
You play it a little bit. You enjoy it until you're like...
I've popped on... Well, see, there's a difference. Like, sometimes I'll get on, and in the first 10 seconds, I'll get targeted by, like, 30 people. And then I'm like, oh, well, I'm just dead. I guess I'll die. And then I die, and I'm like, this game is stupid. But then there's other times when, like, you know... I hit top 15 the other day.
Yeah.
And I was like, because previously I was stuck on like the 24 curse. I don't know what it was, but 6-7 times, like I could not get below 24 for my rank. Like, I always got to 24 and then I just died. every time I was like, oh, good. Oh, hey, new record. Nope. 24, and I die.
I would find that entire game just, like, I get Tetris, and I like just the Tetris.
This is Battle Royale Tetris.
But I would just get so much better. Agitated. Like, I'm not even great at regular Tetris.
Yeah. We gotta think that. It's a good,
like a brain teaser development thing, ish yeah. kind of thing.
Yeah.
That, like, you're all about that, though, because you you like a lot of strategic
games. I've also been grinding out Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Yeah,
and that's just a lot of tedious stuff. I have that soundtrack
stuck in my head just from hearing it so much. Such a good soundtrack,
though. Worth.
I, like, go to bed and you're playing it still, and I can...
Yeah, my right eye is completely bloodshot because of it, I think. But I've basically gone as far as I can in the main game now, kind of.
Yeah.
There's challenge mode, which I could 100%. I don't know if I'm going to do that. But
you probably are
like,
gonna try.
I've gotten all the blades. I've maxed all the affinities. I've done all the quests. I've done all the merc mission. Like, I've maxed, like, pretty much everything. And then there's New Game Plus. And I'm over here sitting at, like, 260 hours. I'm like, do I want to, like, keep some of my stuff and then basically play the game over and have to, like, complete all the quests and missions and stuff again? Or do I move on to the DLC and 100% that?
I don't...
DLC, obviously.
Yeah.
Which is way more manageable because it's, like, a much lighter version of the game. But anyway, point being, when I get into completionist mode, it becomes very tedious and, like, repetitive.
Yeah.
With just, like, doing, mundane quests and things like that. So it's nice to have, like, a puzzle game or, like, something that requires quick thinking to... Because I don't want to get dull. I want to get slow.
Well, you know also, I mean? When you're, like, auto-grinding, like, you have a problem. Sometimes you'll be playing, like, 2 to 3 games at the same time because you're playing mobile games while you're playing a regular game.
Sure.
Yep. So, like, if you're auto-grinding on your mobile games and you're doing this other
game... Well, the games are my content. I make money on
that's
that.
That's true, but
it's
still.
It's my job.
It's still a lot. Like...
I literally became a YouTuber just to say that gaming could be my job. No joke.
I think you just did it so you could throw it in your parents' face.
Well, I just like making stuff, honestly.
I was kidding.
Oh. Well, not wrong, but like, yeah, so, anyway, case in point, everything has Battle Royale mode, so.
Go play Tetris.
Yeah, Tetris 99 is actually pretty dope, and it's free. So you can't go wrong with free, friends. Like most Battle Royale games, they are free. Other ones are a little more expensive to get too deep into. But hey, look, let's go into a quickie rundown because we got some stuff to talk about. Oninaki, do you remember what that is?
No.
So Oninaki is the new JRPG that's being published by Square Enix and developed by Tokyo RPG Factory.
That sounds promising.
It was in the Nintendo Direct we covered last episode.
Oh.
They gave like a 20-second clippet of it. Yeah. And I was like, dude, Square Enix and an RPG? I'm down.
Yeah.
Here's more reason to love it. The creative producer, Takashi Tokita, and the... He was the director and scenario writer for Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy: The Four Heroes of Light. Listen, if there's one story that stands out in RPG history, it is Chrono Trigger. Fam. We have the guy who directed Chrono Trigger, backed by legendary publisher Square, creating a new JRPG. This thing is going to be incredible. Oninaki is also expected to be released this summer, in case anybody was wondering, or holding their breath, or waiting to smash pre-order, which I think I already did. I'll have to double-check. I should go through and look at that.
You should figure out what you have and have not pre-ordered.
Yeah, make a list. And make a list, man. Them summer titles, which I normally just have a fall list. I rarely ever buy games in the spring. or summer?
I don't know.
It's always fall and winter titles.
I feel like you still have some games that you've pre-ordered that you haven't, like, finished or haven't started playing. So, I'm not too concerned about you not having something to play.
I've started them all. I haven't finished them all.
Oh, okay.
Because some are more engaging than others. It's all just the blunt truth. There's too many games! Pokemon Day happened, which was actually more like a week. We had events run at the Nintendo New York store from February 27th through the 3rd of March, so it just wrapped up a couple days ago. They had face painting, they had trade and play card activities, Pikachu and Eevee appearances, and of course a Nintendo Treehouse Q&A. And back when I was writing this episode, I was thinking how ridiculous it would be just to have a Treehouse Q&A and not like a new premiere of anything. So I wrote, will we get a look at Gen 8 during the Nintendo Treehouse's Q&A sessions? I don't know if that actually happened because I didn't watch it because I didn't have time. But we did see a trailer for Gen 8 that we're going to talk about a little bit later. And yeah, it looked pretty okay. I'm not knocking Pokemon, right? I'm not. I, as a general Nintendo fan, find myself being more and more critical of Pokemon as years go on, mainly because I feel like they when other franchises adapt and get better, they always try new things, right? But it feels like Pokemon tries new things and it just alienates people. But then there's also this weird counterculture where it's like, well, it's Pokemon. They're not going to do anything different.
I feel like sometimes... Okay, catch me if I'm wrong. But
catch you? Like, with a Pokeball? I don't know what you're trying
Anyways,
to do.
Anyways, but I feel like there's an audience in Pokemon that says they want something new, but then they want it to be the same. And it's very contradictory of themselves. So I don't know, as a company, how you can, like, please both audiences.
Well, here...
Because you can't just keep remaking the same game and not changing anything.
Well...
Like, at all.
Well...
Like, I feel like that's why they keep trying to, like, gradually introduce new things. And then usually those new things are either very much loved or people are just like, but it's different, I don't like that.
But my beef always is, like... They always say, oh, we want each region to feel different. So they'll take really good things, like PSS, and then they'll leave them in Gen 6. And then they'll bring us something bad like Festival Plaza and be like, look how great this is. It's like, no, this is the worst joint avenue. What are you doing? Bring back my old online system. And they don't do that. And I get why they don't. But the problem is, they're trying to take game enhancements that benefit the series overall and lock them into specific generations and regions and then never touch them again. That's not a good strategy.
No, it isn't.
It's really not. Because eventually you're going to come out of this lacking in innovation moving forward, because you're like, well, this is a really good idea, but we can never use it again because it's unique to this region.
I feel that, like, prevents you from growing with your audience when they like something in a previous generation and they, like, you're not growing and moving forward.
Can I also say I find it very ironic that every one of these activities are basically geared towards kids.
Small children about the age
of
5 to 10.
Based on how proud of, like, Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee they were, there were no Switch or game activities involved. It was based around the trading card game, face painting, and pictures with Pikachu and Eevee.
That seems like they just didn't plan very well.
There was no Pokemon Go, which they could have easily done, like...
A Go event?
Some kind of thing there. Mm-hmm. You know, like
a special,
they're not focused on the games, which is what presumably the Treehouse Q&A was about.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know what else they were going to talk about. I think it would slightly be a kick in the crotch to tease this new game and then never talk about it all week. You know what I mean? And they're not focused on the games. They're focused on the cards and like the kid activities. And it's so weird. It's so weird. I assume they're trying to promote the knowledge of their new game coming out, but they're not focused on the game. They're just doing these other generic activities that, frankly, half of which you could just do at home. Like, you can watch the treehouse at home. You can trade at your local scene. Someone could paint your face. Yes. I could dress up like Pikachu and take a picture with Jane. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to dog them. I'm just saying, like, I feel like the marketing wasn't tailored very well.
It wasn't. That's not really marketing. That's just event planning.
Like, the Pikachu and Eevee appearance thing, like, that's pretty. That I feel like that's standard at this point.
You know what? I think that when I see Pikachus and Eevees and, like, those costume characters for Pokemon on YouTube or Twitter or wherever, and there's like a giant group of them, that to me is more impressive than just seeing a single one walking around.
And actually, you know what, now that I'm thinking about it, for Pokemon Day, like the actual day, not the week events at the store, Pokemon Go released Flower Crown Pikachus and Eevees in Go.
Yeah.
So like there was already something going on. I don't know why they didn't like try and correspond with that. I don't know. It's just weird. It seems like such a missed opportunity, man. But, you know, yeah.
Whatever.
I'm not, you know. I am hopeful for the game. But again, we'll talk about those later. Anyway, Pokemon Go Community Day, speaking of which, is planned for March 23rd from 3 to 6 p.m. Yep, we got a time change. 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. The new time features Treecko with an exclusive move. We got 3-hour lures. We got quarter egg hatch times. All kinds of good stuff, which I'm pretty jazzed about. Additionally, in Pokemon Go, Smeargle is now available. We have photobombing Smeargle. You take pictures with a new AR camera feature, and then you can catch one Smeargle a day, I think is how it works. And you go back and look through your photos, and he's just, like, in them, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you back out to the main screen, he's just there on the map. And you tap on him and catch him.
That's kind of cool. It's like, different.
It is really different.
I've seen some really creative uses of the AR feature. I saw one where it was, like, a veterinary clinic or a college or something like that, and I think it was in Mexico, where it looks like they're treating like Pokemon instead of like dogs and cats. It was kind of cool.
Oh dear.
So people are getting really like creative with how they're using
See,
it.
See, and again, not to harbor the point, but like when you think about the potential that game has, and the fact that they literally built the first Pokemon game on Switch. Don't at me about how it's not part of the main series. The director of Pokemon, Masuda, literally said, Let's Go is a core series title. He said it. It's not, don't take your beef up with me. Take it up with Masuda Man. All right? Like the first game they put on Switch, the first console game in this new realm for Pokemon that they have. Right? It's based on, like, a lot of Go mechanics. I don't know why they aren't utilizing that more with, like, their mainstay promotions. It blows my mind. Pokemon Go is literally integrated with the Let's Go games. So, like, I don't know. And when you think about, like, how they could have done something cool with AR or at least, like, a special Pokemon, face painting just feels really lame at that point. I don't know.
Didn't they release, like, what's that, like, brackety-looking one? And everyone was like, what is this
thing?
Oh,
Meltan?
Yeah, like, they could have done something very similar to that.
And, well, like, that was actually, like, a brand new Pokemon.
Well, they could have caused a lot of splash in having something that nobody knew about. Well, like,
keep
when
in
Beyonce
mind, too,
releases
don't,
music, she doesn't tell anyone
you
about
don't,
it.
You don't want people stampeding, either.
That's true.
Because, Niantic is at this point probably very aware that if they had thousands of people flock to go get a Kangaskhan at Pokemon Worlds without realizing Pokemon Worlds was going on 2 years ago, if they were like, hey, guess what? The Gen 8 starters are available in Pokemon Go right now, but it's only at the New York Nintendo store. You would literally have people mobbing the streets.
No, that's not what I meant.
Like, something insane something like that would happen.
That, like, maybe you could go there and get, like, a special item or a special gift, but, like, release it to everyone so they can enjoy it, and it's in promotion of this event that's happening at the New York store.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. There's, like, ways you can... There's ways you can do it.
Like I said, I feel like it's a missed opportunity, and that makes me sad. But, you know, again, that's Pokemon. They do what they do every year, and people hate and love it. Sometimes simultaneously. So, what else happened? Fire Emblem Heroes leaked the next legendary hero, and in fact, they also leaked the next banner units because they're bad at their jobs. the legendary Roy was actually leaked a couple days early in the Google Play store app, and they actually put the new Binding Blade sprites on the Fire Emblem Heroes website early. Like, 3 days before the trailer got released. Yeah, big oopsies. Interns getting fired everywhere at Heroes HQ right now. Yeah, that's interesting. I talk more about that on the FakeCast, which is over at anchor.fm/TheFakeCast. You should check it out. If you're into Fire Emblem and Fire Emblem Heroes, I talk a lot about that stuff over there. But either way, the leaks are not really new to Fire Emblem Heroes.
No.
Probably at this point they have a leak that happens every 8 weeks or so.
Do you feel like it's on purpose sometimes? Like, they're just like,
no,
let's try.
I really don't.
Let's do this and see if they notice.
I really don't, because they know. Like, they know data miners exist. They know that, like, they literally don't even care. They just put, like, a soft update out, what was that, yesterday, as of this recording, at, like, 8 o'clock or so, which had the new banner units and the new Grand Hero Battle unit and all, like, new stuff that was rolling in later this week. They knew it was going to get data mined to hell. They didn't care. Just put it. They're like, yeah, here. There you go. We could have waited to release this tomorrow night, but no. Here. And then, like, within an hour, everything was up on Game Press. So it's like, I feel like they know what's happening. They just don't care at this point.
I mean,
but no, I don't think they intentionally release sprites and stuff. Like,
not everyone,
because they remove them.
Not everyone. Okay, but not everyone.
They're not trying to, like, viral market or anything.
Okay, not everyone is plugged into data miners either. So a lot
That's
of
true.
People aren't getting spoiled by some of this stuff.
I sometimes think, like, because I look at everything as a creator aspect, and, like, knowledge ahead of time is very useful. And I often forget that, like, not everybody is
plugged in. As
like
much
not
as
every not everybody has, you know, the data miners push notifications on Twitter on, so that I know when something's, you know what I mean? Like, not everybody does that.
Not everyone's following the Reddit. Not everyone. Yeah.
But that is why people watch my stuff, I guess, for the analysis and the info, so that they don't have to do that.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know why people watch me. So let's get into our first big story, kind of. There's three small stories, and then we have, like, two big stories. We had a sealed first-run copy of a video game sell for $100,150, which broke the previous record for highest priced single game sale.
Was it made of gold?
It was not. It was, so the previous record was a copy of Super Mario Bros. Which sold in 2017 for $30,000. So this is, like, more than triple.
Yeah.
Right? This is a big jump. This was a sealed first-run copy of Super Mario Bros. that sold for over $100,000. It sold in a private transaction in early February, probably because somebody was getting divorced if someone's significant other found out that they spent $100K on a video game. And obviously going record-wise from 30K to 100K is a pretty big jump. This version was only sold for a brief amount of time. It had a black foil seal sticker, that Nintendo Seal of Quality sticker. It had a black foil sticker that was still intact, which is, I guess, what made this a significant find. So before, when you had the NES Go Live, it didn't originally come with games. Not many people know that, because unless you were like an early adopter of a company that you probably didn't know existed before this, that probably wasn't information that you had. And so they were only locally dropped. Like, they weren't localized or anything like that. There's like maybe 50 copies of this version, right? And this is, to my knowledge, the only one that I could find that was on record for being sealed still. Because the way this ran was, you had to buy the NES, and then you had to buy these games separate.
Oh, okay.
So later versions of the NES actually came with a copy of Super Mario Bros.
Yeah.
But they weren't originally sold like that. So these guys had a different color foil sticker, and obviously you had the console and you had to buy the game separate. It's not likely that you have a sealed copy of the game.
Because that means
you just bought a system without the intention of playing it. So it's very rare, it's rare to see one of the because literally somebody bought this game and didn't play it on a system that had no other games. So that kind of helps put perspective into like how uncommon this would be.
Or maybe they got the system and someone gave them a copy for their birthday, and then they already had a copy and they just didn't open it.
It was run so limited. Like it literally, the NES was literally sold like this for like 90 days at most.
Okay. Well, I remember being like young and having a Christmas present and getting two copies of the Backstreet Boys CD, and I was like, what am I going to do with two copies? And I didn't know.
Or maybe you pre-order Zelda Breath of the Wild on the Wii U
and forget that you did.
And then the game gets delayed for 2 years, and then when it finally comes out, you get your Switch, the Switch version and the Wii U version, and you just never open the Wii U version.
Yeah.
That might happen too. You know how rare that game's gonna be? I'm sitting on a gold mine over here.
Yeah.
I'll never sell it, by the way.
I'll never get DLC.
That is my child's college fund.
I doubt
sitting
it.
Sitting in a white Target crate right now. Waiting. Just accruing interest. Anyway. So yeah, what would you pay an insane amount of money for? That's my question for this this story.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I'm
in the world. I'm in the world where a Xenoblade Chronicles 2 PVC statue, like figurine, is $600.
You have like.
So I understand.
You have this thing where like you like to collect things.
Only things I like, though.
Yeah, but like.
I'm more of a franchise guy.
I'm like, more of my stuff is like books and like music. And I guess.
Aren't you glad I'm not like really into anime though? Because.
I could have like delicious like figurines all over the house.
Have you gone down the rabbit hole of anime hobby shops? Do you know how much memorabilia they make for anime? Be glad I'm focused on like three series and they're all Nintendo based.
I like the books aren't bad.
Dude, the art books are baller.
I like art books, so I don't mind like looking at them myself. I guess like if I really had a book or something that I like a first copy or something, but at this point like I feel like I don't have a good way of like keeping and maintaining something like that.
So you'd go like first run print.
Maybe.
Like Super Mario Bros.
Yeah,
how much would you... What book?
I... Like, the only thing that I can... Like, most of the stuff I read is, like, on Kindle Unlimited.
Is it
and
a
I
Jane
like
Austen
I
book?
Like it's, like, a digital...
You want a first edition Jane Austen?
That would probably be... Pride and Prejudice.
Okay.
Because I'm a nerd.
How much would you be willing to pay for it?
So predictable. I don't know.
I'm going to Google.
No, I can't put a price on it because, one, I don't want to spend that much money on a book right now. I'd rather buy, like, clothes at the moment. But, like, if that was some, if I just had money sitting around, that might be something that I would collect. Or, like, like a rare record or something of a band that I really love.
Would you be willing to pay $55,000 for it?
No, because it's like how much I make in a year.
I could buy that right now. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at you, RaptusRareBooks.com.
No.
$55,000.
No. That'd be like an entire salary for one of us.
I have never made more than, well, actually, no, I haven't even hit that. Because I got unlawfully terminated from my last job.
You've never worked a full year where you've made a decent wage.
I've never made in a year over $38,000.
Oh, that's so sad.
That's my max. And that's like, that's when I got a new job at The Wall. Longtime listeners will know. And I was doing like Patreon and Twitch and stuff. Like that year. I just didn't sleep, basically. Like at all. I was just constantly working one way or another. Yeah. I made just under 38. Which is sad. I've never made more than that in a year. Meanwhile, college debt racking my butt. But yeah,
anyway. So what would you... Okay, I don't have a great answer for this question. I would rather like spend my money more practically than this.
No, but that's not a question.
But what would you buy then?
What would I buy?
Yeah.
Anything?
You kind of left it open-ended.
I did.
But
what would you
like...
pay an insane amount of money for? It's an interesting question, right? Let us know on Twitter. What would you spend an insane amount of money on?
I feel like buying things like houses are really expensive, too.
That's practical. Stop it.
Okay. So we can't... It has to be something that's not practical.
The first run, Pride and
practical.
Prejudice, was good.
Okay.
I commend you. But would you pay $55,000
for it? No, because... One...
They're pretty. Do you want to see them?
Maybe if it was like if it
she's
had
she's thinking about it.
If it has like
oh
pictures
she's thinking
or something.
Yeah, look, there is a picture right there.
That's a picture of the book.
Yeah.
No, I mean like pictures in the book.
I mean it's in good condition.
Like you know.
It smells like slavery. What? That's back during that time.
Oh my goodness! Stop it. I don't know.
Slavery and monarchy. That's what those books smell like, and. Feminist repression.
Sure.
All of those things.
But, you know, like, those really detailed, like, drawings that you'll see sometimes at the beginning of chapters?
Oh, yeah.
Like, stuff like that. That
like the
like
tin
that,
press stuff?
Yeah, that, yeah. Like, makes it really unique and, like, different than just, like, words on a page.
My new goal is to make so much money in life that I get to buy that for you. That's what my lifetime... accomplishment is going to be now. To drop $55,000 on a book.
I feel like if we have kids, that's just never gonna happen.
No. So, what would I spend an insane amount
of
money?
What would you spend an insane amount
does
of money?
Does it have to be a single item?
Or can I thought it... that was... I think so.
Okay. I was gonna say like
gonna
a
like
complete.
Something
I was gonna say like a complete set of Nintendo consoles, like original, like not remakes.
No, I think
but
it
like
should be
condition.
One thing.
One thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Because like you can have a Nintendo console of some kind.
But like what?
But it's like the gold plated one or something
but
like that.
What,
that's like a lot of
the,
money.
The Queen's golden Wii.
Yeah.
No, I'm not gonna buy that.
The Queen's golden Wii.
I have a Wii.
It's not that great.
It's not great. I have a Wii U and it's even worse. So, like, oh, man. I don't know, dude.
Well, okay, what if it was
There's so many things going on in my head right
what
now.
What if it was, like, Will Wheaton's Game Boy Advance or something? Like, something that was owned by someone famous.
Actually, you know what? This is not... So this is not for sale, but I can promise you I would spend money on this if I was just... If I were a rich man.
If I were a rich man.
Yeah. No more. We'll get copy claimed. There is in... I think it's in the Nintendo World Store. A Game Boy that survived a nuclear bomb. And it still plays. If that ever went up for sale...
Why would
and
you
it won't,
want that? It's so weird and, like, different.
It's a part of history, and it's...
It's radioactive!
Cool. Just put it under, like, a lead case. It's fine.
But you can't see it, then.
Yeah.
What's it, fine. What is it on display in, then, if it's, like, radioactive?
I don't know. I just know it exists.
It exists, so I want it.
And I would probably pay any amount of money for it.
That's weird.
It's the only one in the world.
Okay.
Think about that.
It's the only one that's been found in the world.
Well, I'm not going to go diving off the coast of Japan, Jenna. Like, I'm not going to become like an explorer in the search for the second Game Boy to survive a nuclear bomb. I know it's out there.
You can be on one of those treasure hunter shows. And
yeah, like nobody
really
would watch that.
Show.
No one would. They call
can
me.
Can you tell that we're tired, guys?
They call me the game hunter.
You know what? I think some people would watch that.
Big game hunter?
Yeah. Except it's on like one of those like techie nerd channels, like on cable.
Yeah, I would do that.
And they just, it's like, what's that?
You know who I would get to co-host with me?
Who?
Gerard the Completionist. He would do so well in that setting.
Can it be like The Pickers, where you, like, go into people's hoarded houses and, like, pick through their stuff to
I'm
find,
pretty sure
like...
that's just The American Pickers.
But it's focused on games and nerd memorabilia.
So just, like, two fat nerds going into Goodwill, trying to find...
Yes.
Sweet deals. No one's gonna watch that. It's all shot on like a GoPro. No,
or like part of the show could be like that, and then the other part of the show could be like educational, where you go on field trips to find the nuclear. What was it, Game Boy?
Where it's just like spliced in.
So it's like part educational and like oddities, and part Pickers.
I know it's just because it's 11 o'clock at night, but that sounds pretty good. Like, the more you're talking about it, the more like,
Yeah, like...
I'm gonna have to tweet at some people.
Like, at the, like, in the middle of the episode, you talk about the Queen's Golden Wii, and then you, like, go picking for, like, some good stuff. He's, like, actually thinking about it.
I'm trying to think how that would work. I am an entrepreneur. All right? If I'm pitched a good idea, I'm going to figure out a way to make it work.
Is this a verbal trademark on this idea?
Yes, verbal agreement is pending in, is patent pending in New York, so. I mean, this, I'm not in New York, but copyright law in New York's pretty, you know. Don't take my idea! I'll fight you.
You mean my idea.
Nope, that's not what I heard.
You know that
before
we're
we get
tired,
into this any further,
you know we're tired because we've just been rambling about like a make believe.
That's a
thing.
Great idea, though. Anyway, so
it's probably already a thing. We just don't have cable.
Bomb-ridden Game Boy. That's what I spent a bunch of money on. Okay. Moving on. Dragalia Lost surpasses $75 million in global revenue. Dragalia Lost expanded availability on February 26th. It now includes Canada, Ireland, the United Kingdom, Australia, Singapore, and New Zealand. So Frodo can play Dragalia Lost now. That's exciting. Is that not where Lord of the Rings was filmed?
I can't.
Pretty sure it was.
What do you mean, where?
New Zealand.
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah.
So Frodo.
I kind of blanked out a little bit.
Of course you did.
I'm tired.
They also recently introduced a new game mode. I was still
thinking about the geek picture.
That's great. Called Void Battles. I hate Zephyr. I just want that known. I don't understand why it took Nintendo so long to release this in more countries. It makes no sense to me. Like, literally, 5 months in, they've made almost $100 million in revenue in two countries.
Yeah, they should really.
Why
just...
did they not? You know what I mean?
It's
already in the United States. Canada's just like a couple miles north, man.
Yeah.
What's the harm?
Like, you can release it to pretty much all of the English speaking countries.
Well, that's what they did. Minus Singapore. I don't think they speak a whole lot of English.
No, they speak definitely more Spanish and such.
So, there's that. What was it? Fire Emblem Heroes just hit 500 million. So, like, Heroes is still the top grossing app, but it's also, it just went into its third year. So,
it's not the Dragalia
Lost. Dragalia Lost is like a fifth behind, but Heroes has been around for years. It's in every country. It's in like 26 regions, rather. Dragalia Lost is like doing 20% of that on two countries in like 5 months. Bro. You kidding me? That game is going to sweep. Dragalia Lost probably surpasses and becomes the top grossing mobile game for Nintendo by August. I'm going to put it out there right now.
I mean, it's the fastest growing of all of their mobile
games. Cygames don't mess around, man. Cygames knows gotcha.
Yeah.
Case in point. I can't get over why it took them so long to do that. Because I've been streaming it, and I've had people from, like, Germany, UK, Canada. Like, they've been asking, like, oh, man, I wish I could play this.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wish you could too. Because I hate the Zephyr and I'd like more help. Stupid bird. Stupid dragon bird zombie bird. Anyway. Yeah. Dragalia Lost. You should play it if you're not.
You've tried to get me to play it on multiple occasions.
You don't play games. Why are you even on this show anymore?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Hey, listen. We're going to take a quick break for our sponsor. But after that, I'm going to reveal who Koei Tecmo is developing a new game, or co-developing a new game for. And it's one that you're aware of, but you might not know. So we'll be right back into our next set of stories after a quick word from our sponsor. Welcome back. I don't know if that was just a weird jump cut, or we had a sponsor slot, or I don't know who it was for, but you should definitely check them out.
Them?
Do that.
Them? What if it's like a single entrepreneur and it should be that you should check him or her out?
Proper. Well, you can use the.
You can use them.
You can use the plural neutral.
True.
In place of any.
I just wanted to say him or
any
her.
Any identifier. Okay. Well, hey, Koei Tecmo is announced to be co-producing Fire Emblem Heroes. Or not Heroes. Oh God, it's late. It's so late. Fire Emblem Three Houses. I have a video to record after this. Did you know? Probably not.
You told me we were going to be done with this by 10:30. It is not.
I was like, in bed by 10:30. Sound good? It is now 11 o'clock. No, so Fire Emblem Three Houses is being developed by Nintendo and Koei Tecmo, which Koei Tecmo also helped develop Fire Emblem Warriors. And they also developed, like, the Dynasty Warriors series, the, what was it, Zelda. Zelda had a Warriors, Hyrule Warriors. They helped develop that. Like, it's kind of their bread and butter. And if I had to take a guess, I'd say it's probably because they're doing it for, like, an art direction type deal. Warriors developers are pretty experienced with, like, giant armies kind of fighting each other.
Yeah.
And based on what we've seen from the Three Houses trailer that we had in the last Direct, before they told us, oh, by the way, it's getting delayed 4 months, We saw, like, you know, groups of troops basically clashing with one another. So I think more than likely they're taking it from an art directive. A lot of people have also speculated that Three Houses is going to be like a new Fates game or like Awakening 2.0. And I genuinely don't think that's likely. So a lot of the people are thinking that they're going to sell it in thirds or just sell the base game and then make you buy DLC for the other two houses stories.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense.
I hope not, because, like, I know what happened with the one game where you had to buy, like, the different ones, and it was very confusing to me to, like, understand why they would do that.
Well, it's like the Pokemon strategy.
Yeah, but, like, it just isn't...
Which is bad.
Like,
it's not a good strategy.
Like, Pokemon have been doing that since the very beginning of their franchise.
And they're jerks for doing it.
I'm gonna be blunt. So, like, just doing it randomly, just... No. Like, don't do that to your fans.
I don't think they're gonna do it. Three Houses has a heavy indication of being more of a classic Fire Emblem-themed game with more of, like, an added focus on customization through, like, the academy.
You know what I mean?
So I think there's going to be more customization options. I think there's going to be more replayability, because what I think is the story is going to split in one of three ways when you choose a house.
And Gryffindor.
Then play through the game. I mean, yeah, basically. There's Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff, and Gryffindor. Sorry, Slytherin fans. Y'all suck. Get out. No one likes you.
You're going to get some hate on that.
I'm a Ravenclaw. Fight me. but no, yeah, it's very, like, that's, I even said that in the reaction.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this is Fire Emblem Harry Potter, like Hogwarts edition. What's going on? But yeah, no, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm very confident that's not going to happen. They might do DLC, but it's not going to be story, like story completion based, right? Because when they did that with Birthrights and Conquest, they had the DLC that was Revelations, which kind of, like, I don't know, it told kind of a separate side story if you didn't choose either the Birthright or the Conquest path.
Which, yeah.
Okay, sure. I guess if you want more dialogue and more story arc fill in or whatever, that's great. But either way, it wasn't really necessary, I guess. It's not necessary, and that's okay. You know, putting your content behind a paywall is not okay. That's the kind of nonsense EA does. And they delayed it. So if they were intending on pushing out a game that had three separate parts that you had to pay for each one, to me it doesn't make sense to delay that. Like, if you're going to roll stuff out through DLC anyway and make people pay for it, I don't know why you'd delay the game. So I genuinely don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it has, like, a Japan teenage high school theme going on that some people are speculating. I genuinely don't think it's anything like that. I think it's just going to be good. And Koei Tecmo coming on board to help presumably lead direction and combat art is...
I think that's
exciting.
It's
pretty inspiring.
I think that's exciting.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, because they clearly have experience doing it, so why not?
Oh, it's their live stream, man.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, they do. You know how long the Dynasty Warriors series... Actually, let me look it up. The Dynasty Warriors series has been around forever. Dynasty Warriors. And there's been, like, a bunch of games. Dynasty. Well, my keyboard is just not cooperating. This doesn't tell me. Wikipedia. Help me. 1997.
Wow.
Dynasty Warriors for the PlayStation came out February 28th. So early 97. So they've been around for a while, man. 20 years now. 20 plus years. 22 years.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We're old.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah.
Dang, I'm old.
Wasn't it just that, like...
Oh no.
Wasn't it, like... Kids that were born in, like, the early 2000s are graduating high school now. Like, it's not even 1990 anything anymore. It's sad. We're old. God.
Well, anyway. I guess happy 22nd birthday to Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah.
That wasn't that long ago. Just a couple days ago, 22nd birthday. Great. Just like Jenna.
I'm going to be 22 forever.
Yep. This is the 10th anniversary of the 22nd birthday.
That's not true.
How we'll celebrate next year.
That's next year.
Yeah. I just remember an old Scrubs episode where JD used that language.
Yeah.
He's like, it's the first anniversary of my 30th birthday. Or my 29th birthday. And he's like, that means I'm turning 30.
We should just do that from now on.
So good.
You should write that on our birthday cakes.
Happy second anniversary of being 29. So, all right. Listen, you've all been fantastic. Let's get into the nitty-gritty here. The Pokemon Direct happened on February 27th, 2019. We got to see a trailer of Gen 8. We got to see snippets of the Galar region. We got to see the three starters, Scorbunny, Sobble, and Grookey. Did you see which ones?
I saw them.
Yeah.
I just don't know which names are associated with the ones that I saw.
Grookey is the grass monkey.
Okay.
Sobble is the water lizard. And Scorbunny is that thing that Jessica Negri cosplayed already. And I use cosplay in very light terminology because it's basically softcore porn at this point.
I feel like you should not say this on the podcast.
Come at me. Tell me it's not. Anyway.
That's just one of those issues that you should just stop talking about.
It's too late.
I feel like the bunny everyone was very much a fan of.
Score bunny?
Yeah.
I think people are alienated by that.
But,
Because it very much is giving off, like, he's got a band-aid down his nose already.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, firefighting type, third evolution's gonna happen. You wait.
Why?
And a lot of people are disappointed. Because, like, all of the, well, not all, but a vast majority of the fire starters end up being part fighting. What?
I want to see the pictures again.
Of what?
Of the starters.
Honest to God.
I'm a visual person.
Well, that doesn't help me right now. I made a graphic.
Okay.
And I'm trying to find...
Oh, you made a thumbnail for it. Oh, there they are.
I made a phone wallpaper. That's why you should be in the Discord. I just drop random stuff in there sometimes.
You do. I like that one. The water Sobel? Type. Yeah.
I feel like Sobel might be the most popular. I'm Grookey Gang.
The
come
monkey,
at me.
The grass monkey.
Come at me, bro. Yeah.
It's cute. You know what I saw? I saw someone take the starters and compare them to the Powerpuff Girls. It was really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you can pretty much do that with any trio that's based on the colors of red, green, and blue.
Yeah, but they were also like...
Like, you could... theoretically, you could do the same thing with Charmander, Squirtle, Bulbasaur.
But, like, you know how the ears are on... Whatever that one is. Like
Grookey.
Grookey.
You say his name.
Grookey.
Grookey Gang.
Grookey
Gang, Grookey Gang, Grookey Gang.
So, like, the green Powerpuff Girl has something, like, a similar shape on her character art. And that's where they were comparing it. It was weird. I don't know.
Buttercup?
You'll have to look it up.
Do you know the names of the Powerpuff Girls?
No.
You don't?
Okay, so... I was watching, like, Disney and Nick when those were on Cartoon Network, so I wasn't a big Cartoon Network watcher as, like, an older kid. Because most of the
you
time...
You didn't watch Ed, Edd n Eddy? Or Courage the Cowardly Dog? Or Johnny Bravo?
I watched Ed, Edd n Eddy with my brother when he was watching
or
it.
Dexter's Laboratory?
I watched a little bit of Dexter's Laboratory.
Oh my God.
For the most part, I watched, like, Nick and Disney, and my brother watched Cartoon Network. Adult Swim.
That was mostly just anime.
Yeah.
Like, that's how people got to watch Dragon Ball Z, basically. And Sailor Moon.
He would watch Inuyasha, like, really late at night.
Dude, Inuyasha was so good. Yeah. Anyway, we're getting off topic. Blossom, Bubbles, and Buttercup.
Okay.
Are the names of the Powerpuff Girls. Which I don't see Blossom being a square bunny, like, at all.
No, let me, like, I want to show it to you, but okay. I have to find it. Well, and I don't want to take too long.
Okay. Well, you should have thought about that before we sat down to record.
I didn't know this would be part of it. You know how I just start saying things sometimes.
Well, I will continue talking while you look that up, I guess. It's likely based on the UK, which gives very high hope. Like, UK is probably one of my top wishes for a region to be based on.
I can't find all of them, but there's at least two of them you can see.
Oh, that?
Yeah, so, like, how the shape, how, like, her bangs are like that.
The postures.
Similar. Yeah, there's, like, similar design characteristics.
That's a stretch.
Yeah, I don't know.
Also, you failed to show me the one with Grookey. Just FYI.
Here.
That's Bubbles. And Sobel. Yeah. It's not Grookey. You told me the green one.
Oh, that was the one I just showed you. No. Wasn't it?
You showed me the red one, Blossom, with Square Bunny.
Oh.
Are you colorblind? Sorry. Can you do you know the difference between green and red?
No, I should really know that. I should know the difference between green and red. Otherwise, I don't know why people are paying me to do my job.
I mean, I get where they're coming from.
I'd literally have to, like, search
I'm
the
just,
internet.
I'm
for
just
it.
Surprised that no. you the one that you talked about was the one you did not show me.
It's the one I can't find.
It's a conspiracy.
Sure it is.
Everything's a conspiracy. So yeah, I think it's pretty much based on the UK. They've even got the hills of Scotland in there, which is just so very promising because it looks so freaking good. It looks like a more classic return to normalcy, I guess I'll call it, with Pokemon. It has more of a traditional feel, which is nice because that's something that we haven't had in a while. Like, the Alola thing was okay. All right, I think they kind of beat us over the head with Usum after Sun and Moon. It was just too much, man. It was way too much. They made a different game, which I'll commend them. Sun and Moon was good. Usum was better, and we should have just had Usum in a remake, called it quits, rather than jamming all these Kahuna trials down our throats. That got old real quick. But this seems more like a classic return to form, which I am excited about.
I mean,
and have you seen the players?
I've seen the gameplay footage.
Have you seen the Scottish lass?
I don't know, but everything I saw looked really good, and it reminded me of, like, when I kind of, and I think you've mentioned it before.
She's wearing plaid, Jenna.
And when we play, what was it, X and Y, when you're in, like, Paris and France?
Yeah.
Like, it kind of reminded me of that, and I really liked playing
I
that
genuinely,
game.
When it opened down the trailer, I genuinely thought it was a Kalos remake.
Yeah.
Because it had the Gen 6 bird, and then the house looked very similar to the house in Kalos.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dude, are we getting a Kalos remake right now? Like, what's happening? What's going on? Yeah, no. Look at this.
I know, like, how much you are a fan
look
of,
look
like,
at the wool!
I know how much you are a fan of, like, Professor Layton and all of those games, oh, and I God. Feel like they could really do, like...
Give me that crossover.
Yeah. Like, that could be really cool if they kind of went more of that, like, buttoned-up kind of cultural...
I'm gonna change my answer from the previous story. I would pay an insane amount of money for a Ryan Reynolds-voiced Detective Pikachu Professor Layton crossover. That's what I would pay a crazy amount of money for.
Are we going to go see that movie when it comes out?
Probably. I don't know.
They already have a second one in the works. Like, they've already... It's not even out yet, and they're already going to make
it's
a second
Ryan
one.
Ryan Reynolds. The dude spews money. He's so good. Anyway. No thoughts on the lass? I'm surprised. I thought you'd be a fan of sweater capes and...
No, I did like... I just said I liked it.
She doesn't seem very excited.
I'm tired.
I can
you
tell.
You can't judge me
You're
right
on
now.
Burnout, right? I can feel it.
I was really hoping today was Friday, and it's not, and I'm so disappointed I can't sleep in tomorrow. And even if I could sleep in, we're going to see our niece and your mother, and we have to leave at a decent time.
Yeah. You want to take, like, a bunch of Benadryl and just pass out tomorrow night?
We're getting...
I don't condone that, by the way.
No,
like... Please use responsibly. No. For allergies.
But I might just drink.
Wow. Telling it like it is. You really are an old lady.
Oh. I'm like, yeah. If I have, I have some PTO time to use up, and so I'm just going to take random days. I don't care anymore. Like, if they miss me, they miss me. Things get done when I get back.
You know, this is getting published on the internet, right? Just to be...
I'm just
to be clear.
I'm just, like, at that burnout point where, like, even when I'm at work, I'm just, like, my brain isn't functioning the way it should be.
Well, it's interesting that you should bring up work.
Because we're doing a podcast right now.
Because Reggie is retiring.
Oh.
You just ruined my transition. I was like, no, this is totally gonna work. She ruined it. Our final story, and we will... I'll actually end the show with a couple words from Reggie. One of his final messages to us as the Nintendo of America president. He announced on February 21st that he would be retiring as Nintendo of America's president. He'll be leaving in April of 2019. Doug Bowser is set to replace Reggie. He has... his real name is Bowser, by the way. That's... Here, I'll...
I know, for Jenna's benefit. I know who he looks like. Yeah.
He's been in a couple videos with Reggie on the Nintendo YouTube, like, a couple years back. Like, they've done some stuff together.
I saw the really creepy Photoshop episode that PewDiePie did where he made him look like Bowser. That was disturbing.
Yeah, that was not good. I choose to forget that that happened. But yeah, Doug Bowser is going to replace Reggie. He has been the senior vice president since 2015, and he also was the head of sales and marketing. It's maybe worth noting that Reggie has been mentoring him for the last 4 years. So this is not a quick transition. This has been ongoing for a while. And lo and behold... He worked at Procter & Gamble, which is like a big, big company in the States, if you're listening somewhere else. They do like the Johnson & Johnson stuff.
They do a lot of stuff.
They have a lot of cleaning stuff. They're pharmaceutical. Yeah. They're like, Procter & Gamble is one of like the top 10 like companies in the world.
They have a lot of stuff. They own a lot of stuff.
Dove, your bar soap, Procter & Gamble. They do a lot. Like... I remember
P&G,
this.
P&G. Anything that has a P&G on it.
I remember this chart back in college.
Yeah.
And it was a global economics class. And it was like Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Procter & Gamble, like Walmart, and then like a couple other companies. And then
Amazon.
It just had... No, this was before
Amazon
got big.
I know, this is pre-Amazon
big,
yeah.
I know, I'm aging myself right now.
This is when they only sold books.
This had just lines drawn to all other companies. And there were like hundreds of companies on this chart.
Yeah.
But they were all drawn back to like the same 5, 6, 7, 8, 10.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. Procter & Gamble is one of them. It might also surprise you to know that Reggie also worked at Procter & Gamble while Doug Bowser was also there.
That doesn't surprise me.
So they maybe had, like, lunch dates or something. I don't know. But they seem pretty close. Like, they seem pretty cool. Doug Bowser's a character. All right? I know a lot of people... I heard somebody tell me that Doug Bowser worked at EA and he was going to, like, start putting everything behind paywalls and he was going to ruin Nintendo. That's not going to happen. Okay, I couldn't find that he worked at EA, ever.
Did you go to his LinkedIn?
No.
I'm just kidding. He probably doesn't even have one. He's Doug Bowser.
I send him a friend request. Or a connection request.
That's
whatever.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, it's I don't see where he worked at EA. So I don't know if that was just like a fake news kind of internet tweet thing that happened and to cause chaos and trolling or whatever. But I didn't see that necessarily. He's a family guy. He's like, I don't know, 50, 60 years old. How old is he?
He looks like he's in his 50s.
He's 53.
53.
And I'm looking at a picture of this guy with taped up Super Mario Odyssey amiibos behind him, playing a Switch with a Bowser mask on. So I think we're in good hands, everyone.
Oh, boy.
He has a Mario suit.
It's like a sweater.
It's a sweater suit.
It's like a sweater suit. It's the sweater pattern, but as a suit.
That's his wife, by the way. So, like, you know, he's got kids. He's married.
I mean, you have to be, like, a certain, like...
He speaks Spanish, too.
You have to be, like, a certain personality to work for a Nintendo company. Because, like, for the most part, like, you have fun. Because you're selling games. You gotta, right?
I mean, probably. I don't know. I don't think he takes himself super serious, which, based on what Reggie did, like, Reggie basically became
a meme. Did Reggie, like, pave the way for that kind of, like,
I think he really did. I really think he did.
Because before that, like, when you think of executives at, like, other companies, they're always, like, very buttoned up and, like, trying to be professional. And, like, some of them, like, do kind of, like, joke around with you and whatever. But, like, they're still, like... the head or the face of their either company
they
or
have
their,
to put
like,
on a
yeah. And so like I feel like Reggie was very much down to earth and was like, you know what, I'm an adult but I'm still like a big kid and I still love like these games and like I still play the games and like want to promote this kind of, you know, company and objective or whatever I'm trying to say.
He's also a cyclist. FYI. He's like
I feel like you have to be...
He's an athletic super nudes... Or super nerd CEO.
Super nudes?
It's staying in, so...
I just snorted a little bit.
You did. That's gonna stay in, too. So, I have high hopes. I'm feeling pretty good about this. And I don't think anybody should be too concerned. He's a self-proclaimed Donkey Kong arcade master. Like he's been a Nintendo fan forever. So I don't think we have anything to worry about. It's sad that Reggie's leaving.
Yeah.
Because like honestly, for the better part of my time as a Nintendo fan, it's mostly been Reggie at the helm.
Who was before Reggie? I don't even know.
Exactly. That's the point. That's the point I'm going to hammer home right now. Reggie helped make a name for Nintendo, right? Because, like, name... Well, actually, let's look. Nintendo of America president.
Oh.
Well, this is just Nintendo presidents. That doesn't tell me Nintendo of America, but either way. Either way, I mean, Iwata's up there too. Like, Iwata did really good things.
I don't see, like...
I don't think it breaks it down by...
No, it doesn't.
Iwata wasn't North America, was he? No, he was CEO of Nintendo.
And that's not president, that's CEO. It's not the same. In some companies it is, but in some it isn't.
Interesting.
You can research this later. Stop reading.
He did take role of CEO of Nintendo of America.
Oh.
Interesting. I didn't know that. I knew he was like the CEO and president. I didn't know he was also in charge of Nintendo of America. But I mean, I guess, you know, I guess that makes sense.
Is that before
Reggie? That was before Reggie.
Oh, okay.
But Iwata also did, like, the directs and was very, very keen on bringing people into the knowledge base and things like that. So, I don't know, though. He didn't have the same presence. Like, I'm a huge fan of Iwata,
yeah.
Like, obviously. I didn't know that he was also running Nintendo of America. That makes it even more impressive now, in my opinion. But he, you know, he and Reggie had very different
styles,
personas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like even based on the picture, like you can see that picture there, and then, you know, you can see Reggie's picture. Like, look at,
yeah.
Look at the difference. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you can't because this is a podcast. But you know,
you don't care. Reggie's holding up a Switch and he's smiling. Iwata and all the other former presidents are kind of just standing in a very like high school senior photo shoot kind of straight face type situation. And I don't know. He brought like a new air to Nintendo, and I can appreciate that. And I will be sad to see him go, but I'm glad to see that they're bringing in somebody who is also kind of in the same realm as Reggie. And I think Doug Bowser will do a great job. However, I will disagree with Reggie when he said, who else would you rather holding the keys to the Mushroom Kingdom other than a guy named Bowser? I don't think Reggie understands that Bowser's the bad guy. So I've lost my faith in Reggie, basically. I mean, I know what he was doing, but still. Don't joke about that stuff, Reggie. Damn. Listen, this episode's super long. And Jenna has already checked out. She's been, like, picking at her feet and...
What? That makes it sound gross.
Spinning in her chair. And
I'm itchy. I'm itchy in places. Like my leg or my...
I know, I hear you scratching. Everybody else probably does, too.
It's the weather here has not been great on dry skin, okay?
It's been cold.
It needs to just become spring.
It is spring.
No, it's not.
It's like, March.
It's like 70 degrees one day and then 40 degrees another
All
day.
All of my gacha games have had spring banners, so I would like to assert that it is spring.
I want to just shower and lay down.
My games have told me so. Well, hey, listen, that's going to round out another episode of CantoCast. Thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to check out the episode description, which has links to follow me and Jenna, I guess, on all types of social medias. You may call her Scratchy Girl on the internet. If you want more podcast goodness and you're a Fire Emblem fan, be sure to check out my other podcast, The Feycast, where I do a weekly solo dive into all kinds of Fire Emblem and Fire Emblem Heroes topics. As always, thank you to everyone who supports this show and all the other content that I do. If you'd like to help fund the show and all other content I create, consider pledging with listener support at anchor.fm/cantocast/support or become a subscriber over on twitch.tv/KCBBrian. If you can't make a pledge, sharing the show helps out a lot. Seriously, sharing and tweeting is free. Just saying. Free.
Do it.
And it does help out the show. Exposure is a priceless, priceless artifact. So get on Twitter and do that thing that you do, or Reddit, or wherever. I don't really care. Once again, thank you all so much for listening. For my co-host, Jenna, who is still scratching her leg, I am Brian, and we will catch you next time on an all-new episode of CantoCast.
You know me as a gamer, so you can probably understand how incredible it's been to work at Nintendo, one of the signature experiences of my life. I leave in good health and good spirits, and believe me, my body is still ready. In April, I'll be dropping the title that's meant so much to me, President of Nintendo of America, but I'll retain one that means even more. Nintendo fan. From the bottom of my heart, thanks again for everything. You are the best.